What's up? It's Jacob here with episode 3 of the Clear Path podcast powered by Vendetta Media. Back with you today. This is Wednesday night ahead of the Thursday, February 1st launch day for the main Vendetta site. So wanted to get a podcast up so that we could have one for day one. I've already posted a couple. You could see episode, pilot episode, then episode 1 and 2. On our podcast feed. Believe they're up on the website. They'll be up on the website too, backdated. But yeah, so that's what's going on. Just a little bit of a background. This is, I'm the host, Jacob. I'll have periodic guests, repeat guests within the company. All sorts of guests, friends, people in the industry, things like that. Actually, oddly enough, it is solo today. Scheduling things and had a couple things, people back out, but other than that, we're still going to cover the NBA, still going to go over anything that you guys might need to know, and any type of breaking news that we got right now. Currently just witnessed that horrific Isaiah Cannon injury for the Phoenix Suns right now on ESPN. That just happened real time as I was starting to record the podcast, similar to the almost exactly like the Gordon Hayward injury from opening night, which was one of those that you just hate to see, one of those you don't want to see that loop replay. But yeah, it looks like it's probably like a clean break or a fracture, whatever it was with Gordon Hayward. So he didn't seem to be in a crazy amount of pain, probably still in shock, but wish him all the best, of course, here from Clear Path. But other than that, let's jump right into it, guys. as we get in here, as we do more over the course of the next, months and year or whatever, I'm sure we'll have some different types of, intros, some ads and things like that. But right now, this is 100% free and ad-free for you. So enjoy while you can. But guys, yeah, what I wanted to jump in and start talking about was a couple different things today. We got the trade deadline coming up February 8th. They moved it back this year. Normally it's like the week after the All-Star break, somewhere in there, mid-February, towards the end of February. But they moved it up this year so that, that dead period that players are off, there's no, trade activity going on during that period, and that All-Star weekend, there's no types of, maybe tampering, things like that. I don't know if that's what they're trying to prevent, but I remember last year when DeMarcus Cousins was basically at the All-Star game, and he got traded, at the very end of the game that Sunday night. So I guess they're trying to prevent things like that, over-hyping or overshadowing what's going on the court, so don't blame them. It gets it out of the way sooner. But yeah, so that's what's going on next. I think it's next Thursday, February 8th, or Friday, February 8th. And there's a couple of rumors going around, swirling around, as you know, always is. So I wanted to hit a couple of those things. And one that is fresh on the brain tonight is the Tyreke Evans situation. And, he's got a one-year deal with Memphis. It's expiring after this season, of course. And he has been a hot trade piece all year, considering how he has bounced back from, numerous little injuries over his, the course of his last few years, and really, shooting like over 40% from three, really, averaging like 20 points a game off the bench. It's really, really been a comeback season for him, something that, me, as a Memphis native, I love to see. It's been a joy to watch him. Hate to see him go, but that's how things go, and he's going to leave to get paid anyway in the off season, so why not ship him out? But right now, the room we talked about this on a pod the other day, me and Alex, and a couple destinations I liked for him, and we covered Denver and Washington were the two teams that I went over. And with Denver, I was thinking, a combination similar to something around the works of Malik Beasley and Emmanuel Mudiay. Maybe you end up as the Grizzlies having to give like a second round pick or something back, or maybe some more contract, another veteran or something they may be looking for the playoffs. That was a trade that stood out to me, and Denver is in the current rumors right now. So that was something that stood out to me because of the fact that you get two young players that are still in the rookie deals that could provide a lot of bench and possibly starting lineup help going moving forward for the Grizzlies. And the way I see it is, if you were to get a first round pick back from Denver, that's a at best probably a 16, 17, 18 number. That's a top 20 pick nonetheless, but I think somebody like Malik Beasley and Emmanuel Mudiay, like the contributions they give, would help you more in the here and now, and could be even a lot more upside than a random draft pick, depending on where that pick falls. And I think with what the Grizzlies plan to do, probably in letting Mike Conley sit out the rest of the year and rehab his injury, come bringing it back next year, still have the Chandler Parsons contract to deal with, but got to do what you got to do. But I think what their plan is to come back and add this top 10 pick that they're projected to get with their own draft slot, and then run it back with these two veterans and hopefully make another playoff run for the next couple of seasons. I think adding a player like Beasley would help more in the short term with that. And there's not really much of a difference between him and another top 20, top 25 pick. So that's my – if you can't get the pick that you want, I think that's the trade to go with if that's on the table. But I think I think what the Grizzlies front office reportedly is looking for through several reports from ESPN today is a first round pick. I think Woj was tweeting about it. That's what the Grizzlies are really holding out for, and that started tonight by sitting Tyreke Evans on the bench for the game against the Pacers. And you don't see that a lot generally. You don't really see them, I guess, holding a player out very often, and actually the Bulls are doing it with Nikola Mirotic right now as well, so it's kind of a little bit odd to see that happen, but it's the right decision in a lot of aspects. Somebody like Tyreke Evans, who handles the ball and does find himself driving to the rim a lot, bodies flying around, things like that, you don't want to risk twisting an ankle, or definitely not a serious injury, but any type of minor thing that would either deter a team from wanting to use him for the next couple of months, or drop down his value. So, I don't hate the move. Sounds like the trade is going to be done in the next 24 hours, I would think. They did pull him from the bench during the game, as the local broadcast was talking about, and the report was that they sent him back to the team hotel, not away from the team or anything like that. But there was some reported hugs and goodbye said on the bench. So that gives you maybe that was preempted. Maybe that was just the player saying, well, you're probably going to get traded if we don't see you, good knowing you or whatever. But it sounds to me like it's probably something ready to go either late tonight on Wednesday or early tomorrow, Thursday. Maybe the details won't come out until tomorrow, but it sounds like they know who they're dealing with. I think the reported teams interested were Denver, New Orleans, Boston, Washington possibly, and then Milwaukee, I believe, and Philadelphia. So if you want to go through those teams, Boston always is a legit opportunity because they have so many assets. That was kind of where once Boston is listed as a possible destination for any player, that's kind of dominates the news cycle, talking about Danny Ainge and his mass collection of assets. But that is Bill Simmons talking about Danny Ainge's infatuation with Tyreke Evans ever since he came into the league years ago. It does have some have some flags there to be paying attention to. They have the first round picks to give back if we want, even ones that maybe their own first round pick, which is probably late 20s, more than likely. Or they do have the Grizzlies first round pick for next year that's top 8 protected. So that may be something that the Grizzlies look to get back, their own asset for that, and possibly a player. I think Terry Rozier was thrown in there, possibly Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's going to be a restricted free agent next year, and I wouldn't want to be locked into, I guess it's not a bad asset to have because you would control his, rights. You could match anything, but I'd rather have a player like Terry Rozier if I was Memphis. So we'll see what materializes with those rumors. Philadelphia up there too with their own first round picks. I guess New Orleans would probably be sending a pick too. I think New Orleans is a long shot to me just because of the lack of assets. And if I was them, I wouldn't be trading picks like that. And as far as Milwaukee goes, They have some young talent there. They have the type of player that Memphis would want to go after, in addition to a pick. Because I think if you're Memphis, you're probably getting. I mean, you have to have some salary filler, if you're Memphis. So I think that ends up probably being what they do, is getting a younger player or something like that. As I pull up Milwaukee's roster here real quick, Basketball Reference is an awesome tool if nobody uses it, but. But yeah, so, you know, a player like, I guess a Sean Kilpatrick or a DJ Wilson. I think Brogdon is a little too rich for us to try to obtain. I doubt that they would swap anything with that. You'd have to play around with some salaries, maybe a Rashad Vaughn, guy that they've had for a long time. But it doesn't seem like they have too many players that if I were Grizzlies, I would want to go after. You know, if you're just taking my opinion on this, I'm a fan of Denver and Boston, probably. Denver, Boston, and Philadelphia being the third best location to try to pull some assets from them. So we'll see what happens with the Evans trade, but that probably will break tomorrow or in the next couple of days, I would assume, especially, you know, according to what, you know, happened tonight with him leaving the bench and before the game was over. So be on the lookout for that. Other than that, you know, touch on the Nikola Mirotic trade. Evidently, there was a move in place, or there was a trade in place with New Orleans Pelicans, and they wanted to trade a pick for him. I think it was a first round pick, actually, which still don't see why they're trying to do that. But you know, Mirotic has an interesting contract where he signed it in the offseason, and it's a 2-year deal, but the second year is a player option, and it's a de facto no trade clause because. You know, he can easily opt. It's basically an expiring contract because he can easily opt out. And, you know, he's not going to agree to a trade or he's not going, you know, agree to a trade, air quotes, you know, agree to opt into his player option unless he's traded to a team he wants to go to. And I believe he nixed that with the Pelicans by saying he wouldn't agree to opt into that player option upon the trade. So that kind of, you know, it limits Chicago, which they made a mistake by signing him to this contract because he's a good player and he was worth signing, but you don't sign somebody, a player of his stature, to a deal like that where it's, you know, basically you're handcuffing yourself for any moves that you might want to make. So I think that's kind of, you know, it's on them. They have to deal with that. He's a player that, you know, got into an altercation with Bobby Portis before the season started, or they probably wouldn't be looking to trade him. But if they can get something for him, maybe a small asset or find a team maybe that wants to, I assume, though, the teams he would agree to be traded to are, you know, on the the winning side of that equation. And so the first-round pick or any type of pick is not going to be as appealing to Chicago. But I think at this point, any type of asset you get for him, it would be nice with that core that they already have there. And they look to, you know, they're overperforming what the people thought ahead of the season. And so if you add another asset to that next year, that's not a bad takeaway for a player that you kind of just want to cut ties with, even though he is productive. So that's the Nikola Mirotic saga that's going on right now. Other than that, as far as trades go, you know, Joakim Noah was in the news today. That's another albatross contract that you just don't understand how those negotiate. Well, that was a Phil Jackson deal, so I guess you kind of understand that. But he hasn't reported to the team basically all season. He's at odds with the front office. You're not going to get along with somebody that a new front office that can't believe that the old regime paid you this much money. He's obviously not a productive player at this point in his career. Can't stay healthy. You can't really – there's not really a team out there that you'd want to be trading with. Teams in the past like Philly and Brooklyn who have taken big salaries and been a salary dump team, they're in somewhat different situations now. I think Brooklyn would still probably be open to it, but they've done so much over the past couple of seasons that they may not – I mean, I think there's like 3 years left on this deal. They probably don't want to even worry about that because I have a feeling they want to compete within the next 1 to 2, especially with the upstart squad that they have and a good coach. And obviously Philadelphia is in a different spot now, you know, being vying for the playoffs and whatnot. You know, they've really had a resurgence this year. So I don't think those two common teams are going to be open for a salary dump. Maybe you have a team like a Phoenix or somebody like that that would be open to it, or a team that's committed to the tank for the next couple of seasons. I just don't see that team out there, because you have the teams that have been at the bottom, like the Kings and stuff like that, for the past couple of years. Most of those teams have this view that they're going to be competitors in the next couple of seasons, or that they already have the players that they want. So I just think it's going to be really, really hard to find a companion for that trade. Don't rule it out, though. I mean, you never know who might come up out of the blue. But don't really see much there with Joe Kim. But pardon me, had to grab some water. But yeah. Something else that I wanted to chat about was the Kevin Love injury, which, you know, complicates things to a whole nother level with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So last night, Cleveland was playing Detroit. You know, Detroit fresh off the Blake Griffin news, first game back from that. You know, they didn't have any of the players they traded: Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris, Boban. They were a little thin there. Griffin wasn't in town yet, wasn't suited up. They got crazy efficient performance out of Stanley Johnson, who's a player that hasn't really stepped up much this year, as I pull up their game log here. So that was, they lost the game, by the way. Cleveland, I think it was like 125 to 114 or something crazy like that. It was really... to add on top of the Cavaliers, troubles and stuff. It was 121 to, that was tonight. Oh, they played back-to-back nights. That's crazy. I did not see that. But, that's really weird that they did that. Let's see here. Oh, no, it is the 30th. Yeah, it was 125-114, Detroit. Stanley Johnson had 26. Drummond had 22 rebounds. Really showed out there. But Cleveland, early in the game, lost Kevin Love, which, on top of everything else that's happened to them this year, you just can't. If you're LeBron James, you're just shaking your head. Love has 3 years left on his contract, including this one. The word was that Kevin Love might be in some rumors for a higher trade piece, for a big ticket player. Definitely we're in the mix to acquire George Hill, which still is a possibility, but I think now you're really just guessing. I mean, Isaiah Thomas, you're going to have to hope accelerates his return. LeBron's going to, I have complete faith in LeBron, without a doubt. And he can definitely take this team to the finals, even all the way, definitely to the conference finals in the East, without Kevin Love, which, 6 to 8 weeks, I think, is the view on the injury right now. So you may have him back for the playoffs. What level, I'm not sure. I think the rest of the regular season is really the Cavs are in the 3 seed right now. Do you see them dropping even farther, which is crazy to think about, even though they are notoriously the team that doesn't get the 1 seed, a LeBron led team. But I think now that a player like George Hill doesn't necessarily does it get you to that level that you were hoping it? Do you go ahead and make the move and just play for when you just stay above water until Kevin Love comes back? Maybe defensively they're able to throw out some different lineups, and maybe the Kevin Love injury for the first couple of weeks doesn't really hurt them that much. I definitely could see that happening, throwing some small lineups, having LeBron do even more offensively, which he was doing at the first of the season. There's definitely a lot of scenarios out there where they don't really miss much of a step with this. But you still, in the end, you will miss a player like Kevin Love. So we'll see what happens with them, see how that affects their trade, how that affects their, trade rumors and whatnot. Because DeAndre Jordan was another team another player that they were linked to, and he makes sense next to Kevin Love. But now that Love's out for 2 months, basically, do you want to make that move now? Is that going to clog everything up more? Do you want to look at a more offensive player? Is Hill enough to do that? I really think you're in a tough spot here, but we'll see. Kobe Altman, first year on the job as a GM. We'll see what he does, or we'll see what LeBron tells him to do. And maybe you can get more of a contribution out of Jay Crowder, who's really kind of been slow this year, play some small ball four with a starting lineup with him and Tristan Thompson. So that's what they were doing for a lot of the season with Thompson on the bench. So we'll see if that if he jumps back in, if he has a rejuvenation, something like that, and getting some more input from Isaiah Thomas, of course, who is just, you know, the defensive rating has been insane. It's been just abysmal. He's been getting thrown under the bus in the media. Brian Windhorst saying he should go down to the D League, which Brian Windhorst is basically a mouthpiece for LeBron. So that probably came from LeBron's camp, at least. So we'll see what happens with them. In my opinion, I think Cleveland probably does the George Hill trade and maybe scrapes something else away, but definitely a George Hill trade. And I think, honestly, that's enough for them to stay above water. If you get a little bit more offensively out of Isaiah Thomas, I think you'll see LeBron, again, crank up to a different type of gear out of pure spite, honestly, for the situation. I love it. I can't wait. He's going to be fired up and pissed off that he's, you know, left with this, which is not that it's no fault of his, but he's going to be, you know, kind of pissed off at the world, pissed off the rest of the NBA. And so you'll see some mega LeBron games, some triple doubles and things like that. So other than that, you know, the other rumors that are going around as far as trades go, they're nothing too major. Kyle O'Quinn's thrown in a couple things. Like I said, Tyreke Evans has dominated most of it. Not a lot. Blake Griffin has kind of dominated the news, even the couple days afterwards. You know, we talked about that with Alex the other day. And, you know, that trade, I think, is probably the biggest deal you're going to see. If you think back to last year, that Boogie trade, which, you know, happened on All-Star Weekend, like we talked about earlier, that was probably, I think that was the biggest deal that went down. And I doubt you see anything bigger than that happen, but we don't know. I mean, the teams thought that the cap was going to be in a different situation in the offseason and ended up not going up as much. Maybe you have teams looking at more types of trade scenarios since they're not going to have any cap space, which that is a thing. Not many teams are going to have cap space going into the – very few teams are going to have cap space going into the offseason to sign some of these guys, which, you know, maybe that creates some different scenarios around the deadline if they're a little bit slower or a little bit, I guess, more apprehensive on that. So we'll see what happens. But hope you guys didn't hate listening to me solo. You know, we won't do it all the time. I do like getting on here and doing my thought. You just kind of rambling with what's in my head. We'll get some more content, some more structured content coming as the site launches and everything like that. And, be looking for more guests here, try to get some more people in the company. You know, Alex Philbrick has been on the past two episodes, done great. He's doing, I think his podcast is called Fill in the Gap. You make sure to definitely check that out. I think it'll be live tomorrow as well. We'll get the info and tweet it out. We got several other podcasts coming. Vendetta's got a bunch of people contributing. You know, a lot of NFL content right now ahead of the Super Bowl. So a lot of Senior Bowl draft stuff. You'll be checking it out tomorrow. And then you have, you know, of course, your NBA content. With a couple things there. So, but yeah, check us out. VendettaSportsMedia.com, you know, media_Vendetta on Twitter. We'll tag the rest of the handles and everything else, but thanks for checking us out. And I appreciate you listening to me ramble, and we'll see you next week or in the next couple of days. Don't really know the set schedule yet, but we will have some sort of a set schedule. So be on the lookout for that. But thanks guys. Peace.